Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And guess what? Today we have a very special guest in studio, Frank Clemente from
The Green Roundtable.
And there you are. Wow, you thought I was going to forget that. So we did it in harmony, but you're a tenor, right?
Yes, I'm a tenor.
What am I?
That's a tenor, 10 or 12 feet away.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one. So we got a very special program, of course, from 2:30 to 4. We have the Entrepreneurial Spirit with Leanne Hall and Craig Dean and some great guests today. But for now, from 2 to 2:30, it's the NLP show. You're a regular.
Yes, I'm a regular.
Sometimes
I'm a little irregular, but mostly I'm regular.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I was talking to your physician. And anyway, so we're going to talk about a blog I just did called Peak Performance, Are Positive Thoughts Enough? And if you want to see that blog, you can certainly go to www.breakradioshow.com. That's breakradioshow.com, B as in boy, R-E-A-K, breakradioshow.com, and look for recent blogs, Peak Performance, Are Positive Thoughts Enough? And Frank,
I have a question, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we all talk about positive thinking, even feeling positively. What is positive thinking, or how do we define that?
You know, that's a good question. I think a lot of people have different definitions of that and different ways of expressing it. And it reminds me of the Saturday Night Live skit. And I can't remember what that was. It was it the church lady? Or no, the person that had low self-esteem. I'm good enough. Happy enough. Stuart Smalley.
Thank you.
Our producer seems to know all this stuff. It's very impressive, actually, Kurt. And, remember Stuart Smalley used to say, I'm good enough, I'm cute enough, I'm smart enough. And he would define it as saying things that were in opposition to what he was at least
feeling,
unconsciously thinking about himself. So that's what I think most people do is positive saying, you know, what you want versus what you don't want, what you want to be versus what you think you might be. And there's an issue with that, though. Well, how would you before we get to the issues, how do you describe positive thinking?
Well, I think of the positive sign, you know, that multiplication sign is as a plus.
Yeah.
So the idea is that we want to have plus things in our lives as opposed to negative things in our lives. So it's a search for things to occur that have a benefit or are constructive to our lives and to our way of thinking, the way of living. So we make these affirmations, positive affirmations, in order to try to establish that and to manifest it in our world.
So what would be like a positive affirmation to you?
A positive affirmation? I could be, I'll always be on time.
That's okay. I'll always be on time. Is there ever a time when being on time would be not a good thing?
It would be, that's right. Not on time would be a good thing, not to be on time.
Well, what I'm saying, I don't know what he just said, but it sounded hypnotic, actually. When you said a positive affirmation would be, I'd always be on time. The question I have, and that's interesting you brought that up, because in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, says everything's context-related. So if you think about the context, is there ever a time when maybe someone wished they were not on time?
Yes, if there was an automobile accident and you missed it.
So you have to watch your positive affirmations also by having it too broad, where I always want to be on time. Now, that it's all context related, and I think that's real important to understand.
Now, what do you mean by context, Dave?
Well, specific context. All behaviors in NLP are useful in some context. And it's good.
For instance, if you're on a boat, or if you're on an airplane, or if you're at a job situation.
Well, a good example would be something like, you know, I want to be confident all the time. If that's the positive affirmation, some people might say that. I want to have just unbelievable confidence all the time. Now, the question I would ask is, an NLP would ask, is where specifically would you want to be confident? Because if you were, let's say, wanted to be a pilot, and you were overconfident being a pilot, you may have some problems once you're up in the air, or even getting up in the air. Maybe it's not good to be that overconfident being a pilot. Maybe it's time to learn and make sure that you know what you don't know.
So you're talking about that if you really have the skills and the knowledge, positive affirmation really doesn't do it for you.
Well, if you do have the skills and knowledge, then positive affirmations are good. You just have to make sure that you don't generalize it, and you make sure where and when and with whom do I want this, you know, whatever positive affirmation. It just makes you think a little bit more. A lot of people, I want to be wealthy, you know.
Or I am wealthy. Say you just say, I am wealthy.
Or you could say that. And here's the issue, and I wrote a blog, like I said, about this on www.breakradioshow.com. Are positive thoughts enough? Here's the issue, I think, which people should start thinking about, because there's a lot of positive publications, books, and seminars out there, is that often, you know, the key is why do you need the positive thought in the first place? Well, maybe there's a negative thought, and then you want to counterbalance it with a positive thought. So if you have a positive thought over a negative thought, that could be a problem. That's like
putting a hot pancake on a cold plate.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. I would say, though, it's like putting some type of tape over a broken bone or Band-Aid over a wound that needs medical attention. The key there is this, is it's much better, I think, to see if you can release the obstacles, transform the resistance to success first and foremost, rather than putting a positive thought over something unconsciously sabotaging you, because that doesn't seem to work very well. When you go ahead and almost like putting your one foot on the brake in your automobile and the other foot on the gas pedal and pushing down on both, it just burns up a lot of energy and you don't go anywhere. Yeah, and you don't go anywhere. It just really burns you out. So the key is, it's nice to recognize the positive thinking, but if you don't release the obstacles and the resistance to what you want in life, then the positive thoughts really will...
It's merely an intellectual exercise.
Well, create internal conflicts.
There's the consequences of that.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask this question. So are you saying that positive affirmations fail a lot?
Well, I wouldn't say they fail. They just aren't effective.
They're not effective.
As much as they could be without releasing the resistance. For example, if unconsciously you don't think you deserve money, if unconsciously you don't have the belief that you're capable of earning any more than you are now, but then you load yourself with positive thoughts, it's just going to create internal conflict, because on one hand, you don't really believe you're going to be able to rise above your self-imposed limitations and make more money. And on the other hand, you're just consciously saying, oh, yeah, I want to make more money, have more wealth, more clients. The key is to look at what's creating the resistance to that in the first place. At an unconscious level, very often that's where it is. And it's just counterbalancing each other. Positive thinking versus an unconscious negative thought. Go for the unconscious negative thought. See if you can transform the resistance to success, because beliefs will eventually be more powerful at an unconscious level than a positive affirmation. It will pop that positive affirmation out. The positive affirmation will start to fight against the unconscious
thought. Okay, Dave, so what can people use to replace positive affirmations?
Well, it's not replacing, it's looking...
Well, instead of.
Well, it's not even that. It's really looking at how to identify the unconscious negative thoughts or sabotage or resistance that people have. People know they have resistance. I'll give you another example. and this is in my blog also. It says, basically, it's sending two messages to the brain. So if you have an unconscious thought that I really don't deserve more money, or I'm not capable of more money, beliefs are powerful. And then you pop on a positive thought because you read it in a positive thinking book, like, I deserve this. Consciously, you're saying it. But at an unconscious level, you're saying you're not. You don't deserve it. The unconscious thought will win. Now, this is like going to a corner intersection where both the red light and the green light are on at the same time. It freezes you. It's like, wait, there's the red light, so I stop. Well, there's a green light. I have to go. That's the same message that the brain is sending out when you have an unconscious negative thought and a positive conscious thought. It's like it just immobilizes you. It's like you're reacting to both messages. It's two messages. But
that,
the conscious
that are contradictory
one is
to each other.
Yeah, very contradictory. That's the internal conflict that I'm talking about. So it's really important that people start to learn different ways of getting to the unconscious level. And neuro-linguistic programming is really one of the best I've seen. This program's right today is too short to go over some specific techniques. But the most important thing to think about is how do I learn this stuff? Where can I learn to identify my resistance points? And how do I integrate internal conflicts?
So what you're saying, a process of asking questions and having the honesty and integrity to ask the questions,
well,
and make a change.
Possibly, but also since it's on an unconscious level, it's always good to have maybe a mentor or coach, go to a seminar, read something that goes beyond. The whole point here is goes beyond positive thinking, because again, the positive thoughts on a conscious level nowhere are close in power to the unconscious beliefs that you might have or lack of skills, and that could be dangerous. Some more examples. I mean, the solution from my blog here is like you got to look at some of the very deep unconscious level areas where you're placing your focus. So if you're placing your focus on not losing versus winning, that's a different message.
Right.
If you want to say, I don't want to be poor, that's the wrong message, because it's showing what you don't want. You always have to look at what you want. So not losing, if you think of lack, you think of your finances and you immediately think, uh-oh, lack, I don't have enough. Or you have fear, or you think of mistakes, let's say in sports, or you think of errors or self-imposed limitations or what disempowering beliefs you have. Those are the things that you need to address. Those are things that are more takes a little bit more effort and concentration. That's why I suspect people buy these positive thinking books, because it's easier. But guess what? It doesn't usually work. It might work short term, but not long term. Very rarely.
So then you have to buy another positive book.
No, you need to buy.
No, I'm just saying that's what happens.
Well, yeah, and that's what happens. People become junkies of positive thinking. And so for years, they buy the same thing. Have they really, moved up the ladder?
Maybe 10 years of that.
Yeah, exactly. So some of the things, again, you need to look at addressing the unconscious negative responses, what I would call resistance or obstacles, and everyone has them. And that's where the key to success is to let those go. Because without obstacles, guess what? It's sort of free-flowing. You can really move very quickly up the ladder.
Yes, and there's a speed of the accomplishment comes very fast.
Very fast. And there's no question that that's where success lays. And then also when we only have about a minute left before our first break, but we're going to talk also a little bit, I'll give an introduction now, about playing in the third level of thinking. And Frank, you and I have discussed this many times. This in itself can be a great technique to get people started. So when we come back from our break,
we'll show them a technique.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
And maybe you're going to do it to me.
Well, I think I will. And maybe
I'll be the guinea pig.
You'll be the guinea pig. That's why Frank Clementi.
I look like one.
Well, yeah, you do. And the viewers at thebreakradioshow.com can see Frank as the guinea pig. And we'll be right back.
Are you able to ensure the safe driving and productivity of your employees? I'm Kara Lee with GPS Heroes, and with our plug-and-play GPS device, you can set geofences, get speeding alerts, and a full report card each week with driver reports and mileage, all to your computer or handheld device. It's easy to get and easy to use, in real time, with no service contracts. Just go to gpsheroes.org/21 and order yours today. That's gpsheroes.org/21.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac and special in-studio guest Frank Clemente. This is the NLP show, Neuro-Linguistic Programming. Tony Robbins is the most well-known of the NLP practitioners. I'm a certified master practitioner, and we're talking about positive thinking. Is it enough to create peak performance? We say no.
No, and to get you where you want to go.
That's right.
It gets you where you don't want to go.
It usually will get you nowhere, and unless what's the big unless? We don't want to leave people out. Like, I just bought a positive thinking book. What's the unless, Frank?
Unless you discover what's holding you back.
Yeah, because the positive thinking.
And you're so unconscious.
I guess some people can, few can go ahead and somehow it resolves the resistance or the obstacles. But I think for most, it's just putting on a Band-Aid over, like we said, an open wound that needs medical attention. The positive thinking could help short-term, a little motivation in the short-term.
Or it makes you feel good for a short-term.
Yeah, as you're sinking in the Titanic. So, but you got to be careful about those resistance. The unconscious thinking that really is much more powerful than the conscious positive thoughts. Now, let's go into the third level of thinking. And I think this is going to help our listeners. So,
let's define the third level of thinking.
There's three levels.
Okay.
Here it is. The first level, and this is easy, I know what I know. So, for example, it's limited to what you know.
Right.
And that's where most people play in the world. They play in the third level, the first level of thinking. They only operate from what they know, thinking that's the whole universe, but it's really only their limited world and limited world view. So I think that's important. The second level is I know what I don't know. And that means you know things exist, but maybe not using them, but you know where to get them. So I know there's an engine in my car. If it somehow doesn't work, I know where to get it fixed.
Yes.
But I'm not a mechanic, so I don't know. That's the second level. And most people play in the first and second level, especially the first.
Right.
And then the third level is where we're encouraging people to play. Because that's the level of success. And I know that I don't know what I don't know. Let me say that again. I'll say it real slowly. I know that I don't know what I don't know. Meaning, you know, that's unlimited thinking. Knowing that there are things you have no clue about. But if you did have a clue about, guess what?
It could change your life.
It would change your life. Because you would add things that you didn't even know was possible. If you were still, doing typewriters and you had no idea a computer existed, I mean, that could possibly change your life for the better.
And that's what happens when, people in different jungle environments and all of a sudden they see an airplane flying overhead,
They think it's a big bird.
Yes.
So the point is the third level of thinking is always keeping you searching for something above your limited view. And if you always search above and beyond your own world, you may discover other worlds that have such
incredible technologies or thinking processes or tools and techniques that you go, wow, why didn't I know that earlier? Why didn't I study this earlier? Why didn't I learn it? Why didn't I utilize it in my business? And that is the way to expand your mind.
So awareness has a big role to play in this, doesn't it?
A huge role. And but most people are stuck in their habits, and they only operate out of their cave, never coming
comfort
out
zone,
of the cave.
Right? Sort of a comfort zone?
Which is
zone?
A comfort zone. We call it an NLP comfort zone, or working above your self-imposed limitations. And I'll tell you, there's a whole universe out there. There's some incredible people to meet. There's incredible knowledge to still be had. There's incredible techniques and tools, from the mindset to actual technology, that people, if they knew about it and they actually decided to match their limited beliefs about what they deserve to what they could be doing in their lives, it'd be phenomenal for people.
So, Dave, there's a thing called frame of reference.
Yes.
So what we're saying here is to change their frames of reference.
Absolutely, because that could be very limiting to you if you have a frame of reference and you repeat the same things over and over again, yet expecting different results. That is called the definition of insanity. But people do that. Now, do they really want to do it? No, not necessarily.
No.
But do they do it? Yeah, they think it saves time when they're in a panic and a stressful situation. That's all they know, that's all they think about, that's all they do. And it's really unfortunate that people don't open their eyes. It's almost like going through life with your eyes closed. Think about that. Mr. Frank, think about that. Going through life with your eyes closed.
Well, I can feel it.
Yeah, how's that feel to you, going through life in the dark, looking for something like a black cat that's not even there? They're searching for something, and that's another third-level thinking thing. You know, maybe what the culture teaches us to search for in life is not really what we're meant to search for. Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Think about that, Frank.
Yes.
Yeah. Kurt liked that one. As he has what does he have? A tool in his hand. What is that called? A plumber? I mean, a what?
Crescent wrench.
He's fixing something. Hopefully we're still on the air. But anyway, but think about that. It's like, what are you not aware of that if you were aware of would make a huge difference in your kids, in your life, in your world, in your business, helping others? People stay in their own limited world. It's very sad to see that.
So when people use positive affirmations, they're trying to design their world. You know, like a designer who designs a building or an interiors, and they trying to design their life, and so they're working with information that doesn't work for them.
Well, yeah, people try to design their life, but they don't spend much time designing, doing the work.
Right.
They have wishful thinking. Maybe they go,
they want you to do it.
Yeah, they do. They call me every day.
Yeah, they want
Dave,
you
do it for me.
Yeah, you do.
What is up with that? Anyway, so again, we're talking about a blog I wrote. If you want to look at it, it's on www.breakradioshow.com called Peak Performance: Are Positive Thoughts Enough? And we're saying that they're not enough. We're not saying anything wrong necessarily in itself of positive thinking. Of course, that's great. But what we're saying is that taking positive thoughts while you still have unconscious negative thoughts,
is
that's
like
where it's
on
not
the brake and the gas pedal at the same
time. It's not as effective. And if you have positive thoughts with no unconscious resistance, wow, would that be remarkable?
Well, Dave, let's give some examples of what we're talking about.
Okay, here's an example in sports. You know I love sports.
Yes,
we have a sports show every Friday from 2 to 4 called Breakthrough Sports. I often see, and this is actually even in the blog, Mr. Frank, is from a sports perspective, sometimes you see coaches will switch their thought processes from playing to win to playing
not to lose.
That's a big message, a big difference. And
okay, don't lose and don't mess this up, okay?
Yeah, no, I don't think the Super Bowl had any of that. I think they just, of course, a lot of unconscious thoughts going there. Big Ben was, well, he was having a tough time there. I think it was two interceptions. They had a lot of turnovers, penalties. Green Bay had some penalties too, but Green Bay, I don't think, had any turnovers. That often is enough to win. And especially a guy like Aaron Rodgers, he was phenomenal. But the bottom line is that sends a message when you play to win and then you switch in the middle of the game. And I'm not saying it's...
When you see yourself losing, then you start to tell yourself, I think I'm going to lose.
Well, what it is you play not to lose.
Then you decide to play not to lose.
Well,
here's a transition period.
Well, here it is. Think about it. Is that if I ask you, Frank, do not think of a blue elephant. What are you going to think of?
I think of a pink one.
Okay, but you know what I'm saying is that don't think of a blue elephant or don't think of losing. So coaches who tell their players, we are not going to lose today, that's the wrong message. You have to keep it at what you want versus what you don't want because the brain takes things literally. And if they say, we will not lose today, you got to think of losing first.
Now where's the dividing line between what you just said as being positive thinking versus what it's not?
Well, this is part of the positive thinking is the self-talk that you use, the language patterns that the brain picks up. And again, if I say don't think of a blue elephant, you have to think of a blue elephant.
But are you saying that if you say I'm playing to win, aren't you using a positive affirmation when you say that?
Which is good. I'm saying that watch out how you say it, because playing not to lose is not the same as playing to win. A lot of people will say, I do not want to be poor, thinking that means they want to be wealthy. No, I do not want to be poor sends a message to the brain first of being poor. But I want to be wealthy has a clear path of wealth versus poor. It's not the same message. The brain looks at it differently. And it can, and again, talking about what we were talking about is the unconscious resistance is the key that we want to do prior to any positive thoughts or can
function. Okay, so what is the remedy or the prescription when a person says, you know, I'm going to play not to lose?
You say, what would I rather have instead? That's
okay,
a simple question.
Great question,
Mr. Frank. What would I rather have instead? So leave your brain with another message of going to what you want, what you don't want. And the bottom line is always frame it in what you want versus what you don't want. Make sure the self-talk, anything you write down, is towards what you want versus what you don't want. It's a different message. And a lot of people just say that, and they say it unconsciously, too. I don't want to be poor. I don't want to have a bad relationship. I don't want this. That's not the same. That's not effective messaging. What do you rather have instead? Well, I want a good relationship. I want to be happier. A lot of people say, I don't want to be unhappy. No, don't say it that way.
Yeah.
Who taught them that? That's what I want to know. Frank, did
And
did
that's
you teach
because
them that?
A lot of this comes from childhood. Where they might have had circumstances that weren't too favorable. And they learned it from parents, too.
And we're at the end of the show. Can you believe it? 30 seconds
Uh-oh.
Left to the entrepreneurial spirit with a very special guest, FemNav. Wow, FemNav. I can't wait. The founder's in studio. And Frank Clementi, thank you so much for being here today talking on the NLP show. We'll be right back. Remember, www.breakradioshow.com. See my blog, and we'll see you in about 2 minutes.
1010 KXXT.